We need to have that sense of unity, and that's the essence of the third wave that is coming forth. The unity in the body of Christ and the revelation of the unity of John 17. Finally, in chapter 40 to 48 is the revelation of the new temple. And in this new temple, with all the various sacrifices and descriptions that are made, in chapter 40 to 48, it describes the ministries and all the sacrifices that are perfected. And I want us to turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. You notice that that is the theme that God wants the church to become. In the end, just before Jesus comes, the entire body of Christ will be one temple to God. Although we are all individually temples of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1. Looking over here. Ephesians chapter 1, you see this whole theme always being carried on in verse 22-23. Chapter 1, it says, He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And then in chapter 2, verse 21-22, in whom the whole building... Now, notice in verse 20, after the foundation of the apostles and prophets had been laid, Jesus being the cornerstone. Verse 21, 22. In whom the whole body being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Notice the theme is that we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, one church. And... that His glory may dwell in the church. And as you bring that to the book of Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, you realize that all the different parts and all the different intricates coming together talk about all the aspects eschatologically. Physically, it talks about the actual Israel temple. But eschatologically, it points to all the different aspects of the work of the church in its perfected stage. In its perfected stage. And there is always the theme of the East Gate and the North Gate, etc. That talks about all the different ministries that are going on. Looking over the book of Ezekiel. You notice these ministries are emphasized here. In chapter 40, you notice the East Gate, the outer court, the northern gate, and the southern gateway, and the gateways of the inner court, and then the sacrifices. Then in verse, looking here in verse chapter 40, verse 44, outside the inner gate were the chambers for the singers in the inner court, one facing south at the side of the northern gateway, and the other facing north at the side of the southern gateway. Now all these things particularly we need to pay attention to. Because if you remember, we did talk about the wave of worship that is coming. Worship, the wave of worship is part of the what I call the perfection wave of the church. And the worship that we have begun to move into, the realm of worship, is that realm. You notice here, in the perfected church, the singers are still there. The worshippers are still there. Which is why, with every move of God, you notice that the underlying key is worship. I remember teaching before on the seven feasts of Israel, in the worship symposium. And the underlying every move of God is worship. John Wesley has his Charles Wesley. And in the charismatic move, we had the scripture choruses. And in every move of God, there is always a wave of worship underlying. But in the finale of it all, the entire body of Christ will begin to experience such a high dimension of worship. A worship realm that is so high that it will transcend into the depths of God. Into the depths of God. Literally, into the depths of God. And we're going to experience the depths of God. And that same depth is where the, you notice the singers are, for the singers outside the inner gate were the chambers for the singers in the inner court, one facing south at the side of the northern gateway, the other facing north at the side of the southern gateway. We always talk about the south wind, the north wind, the east wind, and the west wind. And you notice that always we talk about that gentle south wind blessing, it comes forth. The north is the presence of God. And so there are details inside here. I'll just give a few examples. There are details inside here in chapter 40 to 48 where you could study and place all the various waves of the move of God that He has done so far and that He has continued to do. Areas like the priests that represent the intercessory move. And when it talks about the sacrifices, it talks about the wave of prosperity. It talks about every move that comes in. And all these things finally get tied up together in one temple. God moves in waves. There is a time when in the Old Testament, you notice God moves in waves. There is a time when there was all priestly ministry. Then, usually behind each ministry, they have the priest, the prophet, and the king. Each one stronger than the other. Then it was a kingly wave with King David. Then it's a prophetic wave. In the same way, there are also waves in the New Testament. Waves in the church age. And each wave come and intermingle and tie together and form the New Testament temple. How do we know all these things? Because Ephesians 2 is our background for eschatological interpretation. It says, we are the building. We are the temple. And so it points to what happens within the believer, not what happens geographically, like in the nation of Israel. Praise God. So with all these things, we realize that there is also a healing wave. You notice the leaves of healing are also mentioned in chapter 47. And the key, we don't have much time, but the key in chapter 40 to 48 is to study each healing wave. And you notice in chapter 47, that healing is always on, you notice, the east. Remember the four winds that we talk about. We talk about north wind, south wind, east wind. The east wind is where it destroys the works of the devil, the healing wave. So you find the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, the west wind, all these still harmonize with the interpretation we have always taught on the four winds of God. And here they talk about the wave of healing and how all these waves come together in the last day church. See, every wave that God starts, and even scientifically, the funny thing about waves is that it looks as if when you start a wave that after some time it dies off. But when something is large enough and there is a certain area, it seems to go on perpetually. Of course, we realize that friction and other contrary forces reduces a wave. But when we are talking about the waves of God, when every wave comes, it's supposed to add a different dimension to the church. And the church in Ezekiel 40 to 48 is a combination of every restoration wave. And what we are bringing forth to you, even as we do the panorama of the Bible, is a formulation of every wave. My background is a Baptist, then got touched by the Pentecostal move, then got into the charismatic movement, then got into the faith movement, and I'm aware fully and continue to move in the prophetic movement, and all the different ways of God that we open ourselves to. We allow it to touch our lives, allow it to touch our churches, allow it to touch our ministries, which is why we can never build a church on one revelation. We have to build our church on every move of God that comes. Long ago, when it was the evangelical wave, and T.L. Osborne and many evangelists were going all over. A Christian historian, recently wrote a book and analyzed. Many of those churches who went against people like T.L. Osborne on the healing wave, their churches stifled and stopped growing. then other new churches form and overtake them and grew on. And it's always there. Each wave, we should get on our spiritual surfboard and flow with the wave. Let it touch our Christian life. Let it touch our ministries. Let it touch our churches. And let it impart something. We don't want the sideline. We don't want the extreme. But we want what God brought the wave to be. To bring it as a blessing in our church. The north wind, the south wind, the east wind, the west wind. But notice now it has become the north gate, the south gate, the east gate, the west gate. What is a gate and a wind? A wind is something that flows. A gate is something that is permanent. You can open and you can close it at any time. See, once upon a time, we have to wait for the wind. Wait till the gates come. The gates are something when you know that now you know how to move in the prophetic wave anytime. Now you know how to move into the healing wave anytime. Because the time is now. It's now no more just wind. Perfected time means gates. The north gate, south gate, the east gate, and the west gate. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your word. Father, we pray, O God, as we consider your word tonight, that you establish understanding in our hearts, Lord, of your blessings that you have reserved for the church. Seal your word into our lives, O God. Transform our lives through your word, O God. And those who have been touched by you, Lord, cause them to go forth, Lord, and glorify you even more, Lord, in all that you have for them. Seal your blessings of your word upon each life tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing that song, Glory, Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb, for He is glorious and worthy to be praised, the Lamb upon the throne, and unto Him do we lift our voice in praise, the Lamb upon the throne. Praise God. Those of you who need further ministry, we'll meet with you, with all the other pastors there, on the right side of the auditorium. God bless you. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. God bless you.